Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Patriots, preppers, and redoubters. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. You've just tuned in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and it is a beautiful September 1st day in the American Redoubt. And the mornings are starting to get crisp, and it is fall in the air. It is definitely still summer, but fall is coming. There's a lot of other things coming, too. There's some storms coming. If you have been living under a rock and not paying attention to current events, then, well, you came to the right place because we're going to help keep you informed and, through it all, encouraged. And we want to help you become equipped and prepared to weather the storm that's coming. And at Radio Free Redoubt, we are not necessarily a prepper podcast or a preparedness website. However, we are very strong proponents of preparedness and self-sufficiency. So, in the spirit of that, we are going to give you some tips and tricks and advice. And this month, we are going to be having some guests come on board with us. And the one, it was kind of so short notice, we weren't able to get it together, but hopefully we'll be able to get one guest on that we're going to be mentioning tonight, Brandon Smith from altmarket.com, because he wrote an article this week that is directly tied into the news that is just being ripped right off of the front pages, and it's all over the internet. That is Syria. We're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to talk about the president, his speech that he gave yesterday. What we're going to do is tie it all in. I don't try to focus on macro geopolitical type of events, but when they do affect us, then it only makes sense that we cover these things if they're pertinent, because of course, here at Radio Free Readout, we want to promote the American Readout movement in general. But part of that is preparing for a time in the future when we could be confronted with economic, political, and or social collapse to some degree. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook and also on Twitter. And you can also follow us on the AMRON net, the regularly scheduled communications net. And those are in place to help keep like-minded patriots connected and informed in case of a grid down type of situation where conventional communications or the internet is either not operational or so highly controlled and regulated that you are getting filtered information. Well, one of the sayings, of course, is when all else fails, there's ham radio. And ham radio is just, a very major component of the AMRON nets. Join us on the first and third weeks of each month on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights, where we conduct HF nets, that's high frequency, also known as shortwave, and also the local VHF nets. And you can learn more about that by clicking on the communications or the AMRON nets folder, tab at the top of the website. And that'll help get you up and running. Hey, the raffle tickets are starting to sell this week. We just announced and finally put everything up on the website for two raffles that are taking place. And those are going to be drawn in October, And in December 15th. December 15th is the Katie Body Armor raffle. And October 5th is the drawing for the Amp 3 Outfitter full complete medical kit rollout bag. And you can click on the tab at the top that says Win Gear. Or over on the right, there is a banner that also says Win Gear. Click on those, and those will take you to the same place to learn how you can possibly have a very Merry Christmas. And, of course, I don't know what the odds of winning are, but only one individual will win each of those. So if you do not, we thank you for your support of Radio Free Redoubt. And then also, I want to really thank Katie Armor and Amp 3 for donating that equipment so that we could raffle it off to help support Radio Free Redoubt and the mission of promoting the American Redoubt movement. And of course, there's a lot of stuff that's involved in that. The costs are growing. So every little bit of help is so much appreciated. We're not in this to make money. We're in this because it's a cause. But this cause takes money. So thank you very much for all of your support, all of you. Okay, without further ado, we want to get into the news. News and commentary. Things that could affect you moving to the American Redoubt, relocating, or if you're already here, or if you're out there in occupied territory, some of these stories could very well directly impact you as well. News and commentary segment this evening is brought to you by Revolutionary Realty, concentrating on the panhandle of North Idaho, helping patriots, like-minded individuals take the gap and relocate to the American Redoubt. Okay, let's start off first with American Redoubt news. This might make some of our fellow Redoubter Patriot hunters happy. Wolf hunting season opened on Friday in Idaho. For those of you living in Idaho, the 2013 and 2014 wolf hunting season in Idaho began on Friday, August 30th, and runs through March 31st in all areas except the Lolo, Selway, Middle Fork zones. And you can get the details on that. Go to Fish and Game website. The season runs through apparently the end of June. Wolf hunting tags are only $11.50 for Idaho residents and $31.75 for non-residents. That's not bad. It'd be worth making the trip and spending the money. Those tickets or those hunting tags are valid for a calendar year. Let's see. Lightning starts two more wildfires in the Bitterroot National Forest in Montana. The American Redoubt has been just plagued by wildfires. Most of them are pretty much under control, but we had two more. In the Bitterroot National Forest, officials said Sunday's storm started two new wildfires in the Montana forest, with the Clifford Fire in the Anaconda Pintler Wilderness estimated to be 4 acres in size, and the Eagle Fire in the Selway Bitterroot, 6 acres. So pretty manageable, but it is really dry out there and there's just a lot of fuel. So I know they're really concerned about winds and these wildfires growing out of control. Out of Wyoming, U.S. Senator Mike Enzi, and Rhode Island Senator David Vitter plan to introduce legislation after Congress's summer recess that repeals a measure of the Affordable Care Act that gives members of Congress, their staff, and members of the Obama administration subsidies to pay for health insurance. A spokesperson for Liz Cheney, who is challenging Senator Enzi for the Republican Party's nomination in 2014, called the move a classic campaign conversion, whatever that means. She doesn't like it. So hats off to these guys. U.S. Senator Mike Enzi from Wyoming, fighting portions of the Affordable Care Act. Get on board and support those guys. They are fighting for you. In national news, Democrat representatives sponsor a bill for a 20% tax on handguns. Danny Davis, Democrat, Illinois, murder capital of the United States right now. And Bill Pascrell, Democrat in New Jersey, from up there in New Europe, are sponsoring legislation which amends the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 to include a 20% tax on handguns and 50% tax on shells and cartridges. That's their quote. So ammunition, 50% tax. There's a couple things that they're trying to do with this. But I don't know. They're saying it's about time because there hasn't been a tax increase since 1941. The tax rate hasn't changed on this stuff since 1941. And I don't understand where that's coming from, because when even in 1941 did they put a specific tax on ammunition or handguns? But anyway, they're just saying we're just so overdue for a tax increase. Let's do it. So we got that to get a hold of our elected officials, tell them when they see this on the radar to start shooting it down with a purpose. Obama takes more executive action against gun owners. You guys, I don't know if you heard about this or not. of course, a while back, earlier this year, he was pushing for executive actions he was claiming that he wanted to take. Well, the White House announced this week that Obama has taken two more executive actions without congressional approval that appear to infringe on the Second Amendment. If you own a gun that Obama vaguely defines as one of the most dangerous weapons, such as machine guns and short-barreled shotguns, you are now hereby ordered to come forward, register it, and submit to a background check in order to lawfully possess it. Now, some of you guys are saying, well, hey, you already have to do that. It's class 3 license. You pay your $200 tax stamp, you do the background check. But what's happened is in the last decade, there's been a trend where people who have these class 3 weapons, what they're doing is they're starting up a trust, a legal trust. So it doesn't belong to a person. The weapon belongs to the trust. And so that way, when any person passes away, then the executors of the trust just take over that trust. So anybody listed as an executor of the trust, then they have access to these class 3 weapons because they don't belong to an individual, they belong to the trust. So if you're a trustee, you automatically have legal rights to access it. They're calling this a loophole. So what they're trying to do is make it so anybody who is a trustee where the trust owns these class 3 weapons, everybody who's a trustee must step forward, get your background check. They probably want to hit you up with a $200 tax stamp too. I don't know the details of this yet. It's going to be real interesting. But the second part to this executive action that Obama is taking is what they call military-grade firearms that are being imported back into the United States to private entities. They want to close this loophole. These dangerous military-grade firearms are really 1903... 30-06 bolt action rifles and M1 Garands. But they want to stop the importation of them, destroy them. It's part of our heritage, just so much. Now, they want to make exemptions for museums. Of course, they probably have to demill them first before they can put them in a museum. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, there's just some of the news that's out there. Some of the stuff that could affect you, something you might be interested in. And what we're going to do is just take a quick break here because we've got several things I want to cover tonight. I'm going to let Fox 519 take this away with Eye on the Economy. And oh, wait, is there something in the news I'm forgetting? No, I didn't forget. I knew you were thinking, what? With all the stuff going on in the world, you forgot to mention Syria? No, I didn't. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Actually, we're going to talk about that in the next couple of segments because I want to talk about, shed some truth and light on what's going on in Syria. And then we're going to talk about how that could affect us as patriots, even in the American Redoubt. And then some of the things that you can do about that from Brandon Smith from altmarket.com. And it's very fitting because this is September 1st, and September is Preparedness Month. So we are going to help you get prepared, and we're going to have a special guest on each week in each broadcast through the month of September with tips and tricks and suggestions and ideas to help you get prepared. All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. Fox 519, take this one away. And then after a couple brief messages, we'll be right back.
Can you hear them, my friends? Those are the drums of war. A war that will bring down the American economy like never before. And thankfully, it may have been stalled off. This is Fox 519 for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, bringing you the financial news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This week on Eye on the Economy, I will be recapping the financial news and commentary surrounding the upcoming Syria conflict and what it means to your finances. This is Eye on the Economy. Welcome back. Unless you have gone down to your bunker already and have tuned out the world, you cannot possibly miss what has been going on with our government around its attempt to goad Syria into a war. So the question is, if this does happen, what does it mean to your pocketbook? Well, it's going to mean one thing: mass inflation. You see, if U.S. enters a war with Syria, we don't just face a war on one front where we're lobbing bombs and grenades at each other. It's actually going to be on three fronts. The first actual theater of this war is going to be actually in Syria. We know it's going to happen. We know that the Congress is going to approve the president's measures, hopefully not. But it's going to be traditional. We're going to shoot people. We're going to kill things. We're going to kill women and children. And it's going to be an actual mess. And we're going to stay there for a long time, causing all sorts of problems and spending money that we don't have. The second front is actually going to be in the financial markets. It's going to be a direct impact on you. Oil that we use every day for our fuel, our heating, and whatever else we use petroleum products for is going to be affected dramatically. You see, a close ally of Syria is Egypt. And they control the Suez Canal, where billions and billions of gallons of oil are shipped through the canal. And should we choose to bomb Syria, Egypt has already come out and said that they would close the canal, causing oil prices to skyrocket, where to the price of fuel in America, we couldn't even fathom the levels that it will go to. You see, our economy cannot survive that. If people cannot afford to get oil, they can't afford to go to work. If they can't go to work, they can't spend money in the economy. If they don't spend money in the economy, well, that drives an economic collapse. The third front we're going to fight in this war is with our currency. Both China and Russia warned us this week that should we choose to bomb Syria and engage them, it will kick off World War III, and the consequences will be both dire and tragic. We know that Russia and China walked out of a joint UN security meeting this week and said that they were not conducting a drill, that this was serious, and they were taking it very seriously. This would be the perfect time for China to dump U.S. treasuries to kill the dollar. If we don't have a dollar, we can't fund a war. If we don't have a dollar, it kills our economy. That makes us incredibly weak in the eyes of the world, as well as being incredibly vulnerable to any sort of domestic attack as well. America, you're about to bite the proverbial hand that feeds us. China has been buying our debt at record rates. They own billions of dollars of American real estate. We choose to engage in this, this drives economic collapse. Fortunately enough for all of us here in America, the communist in chief has decided to let cooler heads prevail for a brief moment and has said Saturday that he'll put a vote to Congress to decide what type of military spending and action would be appropriate. Thank goodness we potentially won't see anything happen until the 9th of September when the Congress returns. My bet, be it ironic, is we're going to see something happen on September 11th. They'll drive some type of patriotic response, trying to increase the amount of American people to support the war action against Syria, and they won't even pay attention to the other two fronts that I mentioned here in this report. Truly, all of these, quote, war fronts are very bad for us as a nation, and I don't believe that our leadership has our best interest at heart. I've never believed that. Yes, Syria is a big problem. Yet, our Congress still feels the need to recess. The British Parliament was recalled. They voted down military action. But, yeah, I know, everybody needs a rest. Even we patriots need a day off now and then. But if our British counterparts can recall their Parliament to vote this down, Congress Get your butts back to D.C. and make that happen. Vote it down. We lazy Americans need to get our butt in gear and tell our leaders to back off, stop interfering in the business of others, and get refocused on what truly matters back home. Bring back the Constitution. Bring back a sound currency. All right, now on to my advice. Once again, this week, my advice is simple. You've got to go into prepping overdrive. If you've been holding on to getting those new solar panels, get them. If you've been delaying getting more fuel for your gas cans, stop listening right now. Load Radio Free Redoubt on your mobile device and drive to the store right now and top those suckers off. Lastly, you've got to get more food. You can never have enough food in your prep storage. If oil prices skyrocket, and I have a sneaking suspicion that they will, food costs are going to skyrocket. You can't run trucks if you don't have fuel. You can't get fuel if you don't have oil. Now is not the time to be hemming and hawing around about what is to come. Now is the time to act to make sure that your family is ready to take on the future. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the commentary this week. Pray that our nation gets their head around what's going on. For Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Okay, welcome back to segment two of episode 1322. It is September 1st, and fall is coming. You can feel it and smell it in the air. It's nice, cool, crisp mornings. I love it. Beautiful, warm, sunny days. My favorite season, going into fall. Let's get right to it. Don't forget, also, you can email us with ideas, suggestions, questions at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And then if you're listening on the downloaded iTunes version or a CD or something that someone has passed along to you, don't forget to visit us at www.radiofreeredoubt.com. This segment also is sponsored by AMP3. They have a banner off to the right. Click on that. They are one of the sponsors for this raffle, both raffles actually. They donated the outfitter medical kit, and you can click on that to learn more about that. But also, as a companion piece to the whole system, the body armor system with a body armor carrier that Katie Armor donated, with Kangaroo 3 mag front pouch, dump pouch, side plates, front and back plates, plus the test plate where you can see the various different calibers that these level 3 body armor, this AR-500 armor stopped. It's very, very impressive. But AMP3 donated a blood stopper blowout kit to go along with that body armor kit. So really, really nice of them to do that. We're so grateful for their support. Now, yesterday I was programming my better half's, Mrs. Schmidt's Baofeng handheld dual band radio, and I was playing with the FM feature, the FM FM broadcasting. We scroll through, and I'm just scanning through stations, and I land on NPR of all things. And I hear, and now we go live to the President of the United States. He's about ready to speak. Stand by. So I'm like, oh, what's he saying? Well, he goes into this speech about Syria. And so I listened, and I'll tell you what, I was disturbed. I was pacing back and forth. I'm yelling at the radio, and I thought this individual that is in this position in the White House is unbelievable where we are as a country. Anyway, I want to play portions of his speech. It's only about 10 minutes long, but I'm not going to play it all. But there's certain portions that I want to play, and I want to point some things out as we go. So you just hang in there with me. Let's go back and let's go ahead and let's start a speech off. And there's some things I want to mention. So this was from yesterday, Saturday, August 30. Was it 30th or 31st yesterday? It was the 31st. That's right, August 31st. Okay, so let's go ahead and take this away. This is Barack Hussein Obama speaking on the Syria situation. And he's revealed some things. It was very interesting. I don't even know if it was intentional, but let's go ahead and play.
Yesterday, the United States presented a powerful case that the Syrian government was responsible for this attack on its own people. Our intelligence shows the Assad regime and its forces preparing to use chemical weapons, launching rockets in the highly populated suburbs of Damascus, and acknowledging that a chemical weapons attack took place.
Okay, false. Yes, they acknowledged that a chemical weapons a strike took place. That part is true. This guy is very talented at mixing truth with half-truths and lies. Yes, it's true that they have been seen handling chemical weapons because they possess chemical weapons. But the Syrian government, there are several accounts now that are very strong. Let's just say this. It's the rebels that used the chemical weapons. Now, there's several exposés on this. Okay, and this isn't fringe, crazy, way out there, lunatic, conspiracy theory bloggers. They're from The Examiner. The Examiner's cover this. The rebels admit a gas attack was a result of mishandling chemical weapons. So they're saying they did it, but we were just mishandled it. Okay, now Waleed Shubat, he's a former Muslim Brotherhood member who's now a peace activist, is also exposing these. He's got a video up there, well, several videos, and his analysis is that there's no way, this does not make sense. It's very similar to what Putin from Russia is saying. It's not even logical that the Syrian government would use chemical weapons. And there's intelligence, and there are indicators, and there's also hardcore evidence indicating that it's the rebels who used the chemical weapons. And the U.S. government knows it. There's a video of a radio communications where the spotter is calling for them to adjust fire and said, fire another sarin rocket. Another sarin, specifically called it the chemical by name. There's a UN official, Carla Del Ponte, said chemical weapon attacks were carried out by rebels, not the Syrian government forces. And this is the UN team that was there inspecting on the ground. They confirmed there was a chemical weapons attack. But they're saying, based on, she said, where was it? She told Swiss TV there were strong, concrete suspicions, but not yet uncontrovertible proof that rebels seeking to oust Syrian President al-Assad had used their nerve agent. Testimony from victims now strongly suggests it was the rebels, not the Syrian government, that used the sarin nerve gas during a recent incident in the Revolution Rack Nation. And that came from a senior UN diplomat. I will post these on the highlights and resources posting. Folks, we are getting set up for this. Members of the Syrian rebel movement have admitted that they were behind the August 21 chemical weapons attacks near Damascus. According to the report, the chemicals were provided by Saudi Prince Bandar bin Sultan, who has been at the very heart of the push for war by the U.S. against Assad. The group Doctors Without Borders went to the town of Ghouta, where more than 350 people were killed as a result of the chemical attack. After interviewing numerous doctors, Ghouta residents, rebel fighters, and their families, and there's a lot of Christian groups, Syrian Christians, who are saying, this was rebels, this was not the government. WorldNet Daily, there's another one here. Multiple videos that are embedded in these and coverage from Associated Press reporters that are on the ground in the area. The UN, this whole thing just stinks. And he wants to go in, or does he? Anyway, let's listen on.
And all of this corroborates what the world can plainly see. Hospitals overflowing with victims, terrible images of the dead. All told, well over 1,000 people were murdered. Several hundred of them were children. Young.
All that's true. This is the emotional sales pitch. But who did it?
Young girls and boys gassed to death by their own government.
By their own government. Well, there's a lot of evidence out there that contradicts his statements.
Endangers our friends and our partners along Syria's borders, including Israel, Jordan, Turkey, Lebanon, and Iraq. It could lead to escalating use of chemical weapons or their proliferation to terrorist groups who would do our people harm.
Yeah, like the Al-Qaeda-linked rebels that are using them, that are being brought in by the one country he didn't mention, Saudi Arabia.
In a world with many dangers, this menace must be confronted. And after careful deliberation, I have decided that the United States should take military action against Syrian regime targets.
Did he decide to do it? No, he decided we should do it. So already he's setting himself up for the non-committal avenue of approach.
But I'm confident we can hold the Assad regime accountable for their use of chemical weapons.
Even though they didn't do it.
Deter this kind of behavior and degrade their capacity to carry it out. Our military has positioned assets in the region. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs has informed me that we are prepared to strike whenever we choose. Moreover, the chairman has indicated to me that our capacity to execute this mission is not time sensitive. It will be effective tomorrow, or next week, or 1 month from now. And I'm prepared to give that order. But, having made my decision as commander-in-chief based on what I am convinced is our national security interests, I'm also mindful that I'm the president.
Okay, hold on. Let's just stop right there. This guy's saying this is such an imminent threat to national security. Where's the national security threat? There isn't one. There is not a threat, direct threat to the United States from the rebels, Al-Qaeda-backed and NATO-backed rebels using chemical weapons on the Syrian people. But how did he sell this? The emotionalism. Dead children in the streets, innocent people, children in the hospital. Well, if this is such a threat, why are we waiting a week or a month? If this is so important, why aren't we acting right now? Well, we're going to get into that in just a minute.
I'm also mindful that I'm the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. The president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy.
He's the president of the world's oldest constitutional democracy. What country is he talking about? Because the United States is not a constitutional democracy. No wonder he doesn't even know the Constitution. That's how it's so easy for him to violate it. The United States is a constitutional republic. It is a republic. And he's supposed to be a lawyer, and he doesn't even understand the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. It's very clear the United States is a constitutional republic, not a democracy.
I've long believed that our power is rooted not just in our military might, but in our example as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's why I've made a second decision. I will seek authorization for the use of force from the American people's representatives in Congress.
Okay. He wants to seek approval from Congress? What happened to all of his speeches about, if I can't get my way, if I can't get Congress to do what I want, I'll do it without him? He's having a change of heart here.
Over the last several days, we've heard from members of Congress who want their voices to be heard. I absolutely agree.
No, he does not absolutely agree. He doesn't want the voices of the people's elected officials.
So this morning, I spoke with all four congressional leaders, and they've agreed to schedule a debate and then a vote as soon as Congress come back into session. In the coming days, my administration stands ready to provide every member with the information they need to understand what happened in Syria and why it has such profound implications for America's national security. And all of us should be accountable as we move forward, and that can only be accomplished with a vote.
With a vote. With a vote. That's how you operate a constitutional democracy, right? You have a vote. Well, what's really happening, he has not always felt like he needs to seek the approval of Congress. He hates having to get the approval of Congress from anyone. But what he did was he painted himself into a corner, because a week and a half ago, he says, or actually longer than that, a month ago, he says, if there is the red line in the sand is chemical weapons. If they use chemical weapons, we will act. Right, guys? You're with me, right? Wait, Germany, France, England, Germany, Australia. Then I will act. I will act. Wait, what's England doing over there? Oh, the Prime Minister's going to Parliament and they're asking permission and they voted it down. All the polls are saying the American people are overwhelmingly opposed to Syrian action. We're sick and tired of war. We're broke. But I already said that's the red line. We will take action. Darn, what do I do now? I'll do what England did. I'm going to go to Congress and ask permission, because this is the way I've always felt that we should always seek because we're of the people because we're a constitutional democracy. And what a schmuck. Okay, let's continue.
I'm confident in the case our government has made without waiting for UN inspectors.
They're confident in the intelligence they had without the UN inspectors, he said. The UN inspectors are the ones that had the report saying it wasn't the Syrian government. It was the rebels. So he's so confident in that. Let me play this again. Listen to what he said.
In the case our government has made without waiting for UN inspectors.
He's so confident in the case that the U.S. government has made without waiting on the UN inspectors, who came back with reports saying that it was not the Syrian government who did it. They don't want to hear it. They already made up their minds. What arrogance. The arrogance is just amazing from these people. Okay, let's go on.
In the case our government has made without waiting for UN...
No, I already heard it.
I'm comfortable going forward without the approval
of a United Nations Security Council that so far has been completely paralyzed and unwilling to hold Assad accountable.
Unwilling to hold us. They're completely paralyzed. No, they said they're going to wait until their investigation showed, without a doubt, that the Syrian government used chemical weapons. They found, went over there and they found chemical weapons were used. And then all of a sudden, their intel, boots on the ground intel, was telling them this was rebels doing it. They're not paralyzed. Well, maybe they are.
As a consequence, many people have advised against taking this decision to Congress. And undoubtedly, they were impacted by what we saw happen in the United Kingdom this week when the parliament of our closest ally failed to pass a resolution with a similar goal, even as the prime minister supported taking action. Yet while I believe I have the authority to carry out this military action without specific congressional authorization.
I'll bet you do. You're probably going to tell us that it's because it's a national security interest.
I know that the country will be stronger if we take this course and our actions will be even more effective.
He knows this country will be stronger. What, you mean economically? Militarily? Both of those are going to get depleted in this debacle. So how are we going to be stronger?
And this morning, John Boehner, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and Mitch McConnell agreed that this is the right thing to do for our democracy.
No, this is the right thing to do? Yes. Yes, the president should seek Congress's approval. That's what they agree on. Not necessarily going to Syria. They agree that that's what you should do because that's the best for the republic, not the democracy.
A country faces few decisions as grave as using military force, even when that force is limited. I respect the views of those who call for caution, particularly as our country emerges from a time of war that I was elected in part to end. But if we really do want to turn away from taking appropriate action in the face of such an unspeakable outrage, then we must acknowledge the costs of doing nothing.
Yeah, we should acknowledge the cost of doing nothing. It costs nothing to stay the heck out of it. Or at least stop supporting the rebels. How about if we hold the prince in Saudi Arabia accountable for transferring the chemical weapons to the rebels?
Here's my question for every member of Congress and every member of the global community.
The global community. He's not speaking to the American citizens, unless you're a global citizen.
What message will we send if a dictator can gas hundreds of children to death in plain sight and pay no price?
I don't know. We'll have to ask you that someday in the future. What do you got planned for us?
What's the purpose of the international system that we've built if a prohibition on the use of chemical weapons that has been agreed to by the governments of 98% of the world's people and approved overwhelmingly by the Congress of the United States, is not enforced?
Because you're not willing to enforce it. Because you don't want to go after the people who use the chemical weapons.
Make no mistake, this has implications beyond chemical warfare.
Oh, we know. This has major implications, and we know exactly what they are.
If we won't enforce accountability in the face of this heinous act, what does it say about our resolve to stand up to others who flout fundamental international rules? To governments who would choose to build nuclear arms? To terrorists who would spread biological weapons?
Or the terrorists that spread chemical weapons in Syria last week?
To armies who carry out genocide? We cannot raise our children in a world where we will not follow through on the things we say, the accords we sign, the values that define us.
Like the values that define us when the people in Darfur begged and pleaded for our help as they were being butchered and raped and their wells poisoned and they were herded into across borders into relief camps where they had no relief. But it was even worse, and they kept asking for our help, and we ignored them. Oh, you mean like that?
So just as I will take this case to Congress, I will also deliver this message to the world. While the UN investigation has some time to report on its findings, we will insist that an atrocity committed with chemical weapons is not simply investigated, it must be confronted. I don't expect every nation to agree with the decision we have made. Privately, we've heard many expressions of support from our friends, but I will ask those who care about the writ of the international community to stand publicly behind our action.
You mean George Soros? What are some of your friends that have spoken in support of this? I'm just curious about who that might be. Okay, so enough of that. What this guy did was he realized that he overcommitted everyone. He wrote a check that the rest of the world's not willing to cash. And now he is alone. And the American people are opposed to this. Even if this were a constitutional democracy like he thinks it is, then let's put it to a nationwide vote. How about if everybody votes on it? He's not going to get the approval. The approval isn't there in Congress, is it? But you know what? It very well may get approved anyway. If it does, Lord help us. But then again, this country is probably going to get exactly what it deserves. And you know what scares me? My family and I live here. If this country gets what it deserves, that worries me. That's why I have to look to the Lord, because I know that He's going to protect me and my loved ones and my friends. At least that's my prayer and my hope. We could get caught up in this. And this could get approved. I mean, the whole world's opposed to it. The American people are opposed to it. Congress is opposed to it. But remember what Ephesians 6:12 says. Our wrestling's not against flesh and blood, although it does manifest itself in the physical world. But it goes on to say, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual war that we're up against. And this could very well all go down. And if it does, then it's going to have a direct impact on us. And we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back from the break with a little bit of insight from Brandon Smith from altmarket.com. And we're going to give you some ideas about what you can do to prepare right now for what seems imminent. They want, in a bad way, to get tangled up in Syria. And if it does, the implications that he talks about, they're beyond what most people can even wrap their minds around. The things that it's going to affect, the ripple effect that's going to go out in very, very powerful ways, and it will happen very quickly. Some things will happen slow, some things will happen very quickly, but none of it is good. Okay, but we've seen this coming for a long time. We couldn't really 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, put your finger on, you know, what is the trigger that's going to set it all off. This one, if this domino falls, everything else is going to go with it. It's very, very highly probable. So we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back. You stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Murder on their minds. Murder on their mind. He's crossed the line. Murder on their mind. On their mind this time. The storm is coming to a front after that ordeal.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo. with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now anything we purchase we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotihuacan happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Okay, welcome back to segment three at the Voice of the American Readout on this beautiful evening, kind of a balmy evening out, September 1st, first day of Preparedness Month. This is National Preparedness Month, month of September. Okay, this segment is, and speaking of helping you get prepared, is sponsored by AMP3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They have medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. Visit them at www.amp-3.net for all of your medical preparedness needs. They also have, until the 8th, the college student discount for the AMP3 IFAC, the individual first aid kit, with the Molly pouch in your choice of colors, red, black, or coyote brown, which is the most popular. That's going to be on sale until the 8th. So you have until next Sunday. So go ahead and get yours today. You can also visit them at the Sustainable Preparedness Expo in the Spokane Valley at the Fair and Expo Center, basically the Spokane Fairgrounds. And that will be on Sunday, September 22nd. Okay, let's see here. There is an article out that I reposted, partial reposting. You can read the full article over at altmarket.com. Brandon Smith is extremely insightful, but this article here, he talks about not, he's extremely insightful, but no, there's no but. This is a mandatory must read. Mrs. Schmidt was talking to me this week about the situation in Syria, and she's saying, so what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean to us? And then I'm trying to explain, you know, of course, you know, shooting from the hip. I got all these thoughts in my head and try to get them out and articulate them well in a way that, you know, she could understand and you know, not to alarm her, but also keep her very informed in the loop. But Brandon did a really good job of explaining this from an analytical point of view. What he writes is, Syria is the first domino in a long chain of calamities, with the RAND Corporation sometimes referred to as a linchpin. You pull the pin, and of course, everything else comes apart.
And he writes in here, as I write this, the Obama administration is moving naval and ground forces into position and clamoring in a painfully pathetic fashion to convince the American public that 90% of us are wrong and that a strike on Syria is in fact necessary, which was the case that he tried making. What you just heard, he said, this is a national security deal. If this was truly, if he believed all the way to his core that this was a national security situation where the United States is in imminent danger, he doesn't need Congress's approval. He can deploy troops for up to 60 days without declaring war. But he realizes this is going to blow up in his face because this is not going to be just a 60-day operation. This is going to be a protracted event, especially if China and Russia get involved. Anyway, here, let me just key in on some of the highlights, what he says. He lists them. One, many U.S. allies will refrain from immediate participation in an attack on Syria. He predicted this before. Obama will continue unilaterally or with continued support of Israel and Saudi Arabia, placing even more focus on the U.S. as the primary cause of the crisis. Obama will attempt to mitigate public outcry by limiting attacks to missile strikes. Remember what he just said, boots on the ground. Brandon is really acute at being able to predict these type of things on a geopolitical level. Even though he's an economy analyst, economic analyst, but he also has a really good eye for how this ties into everything else. He says these strikes will be highly ineffective compared to previous wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. A no-fly zone will be established. Iran will immediately launch troops and arms to support Syria. Syria will become a bewildering combat soup of various fighting forces battling on ideological terms, which is kind of what's happening. We're seeing the groundwork being laid for that. Israel will probably be the first nation to send official ground troops into Syria and likely Iran. Citing a lack of effectiveness of U.S. airstrikes, American troops will follow soon after. Well, that depends on how hard we can push back. The other side to this is if we go after the leadership of Syria, al-Assad, and then try to prop up this the rebel forces, which would be this is going to get ugly. And you know, all the stuff is going to Damascus is going to be in the news for a while, and it might go away and then come back again. Remember in Isaiah chapter 17, it says, you know, the burden of Damascus, or an oracle concerning Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease to be a city and will become a heap of ruins. So something's going to happen to Damascus at some point. It's going to be the focal point of some type of conflict. He predicts that Iran will shut down the Strait of Hormuz, sinking multiple freighters. The Egyptian civil war, now underway but ignored by the mainstream, will explode due to the increased anger over U.S. presence in Syria. Saudi Arabia will see an uprising of insurgency that's been brewing under the surface for years. So that kind of the Arab Spring, you know, 3.0, we'll see that happen in Saudi Arabia. How that affects you and me? Gasoline prices will skyrocket. He's predicting 75 to 100% increase in prices within 2 to 3 months of any strike on Syria. Travel will become difficult, if not impossible, with high gasoline costs. What little of our economy is still thriving on vacation dollars will end. Home purchases will fall even further. Russia will limit to cut off all natural gas exports to the European Union if they attempt to join in with the U.S. Now, some people are saying, oh, Russia and China, or Iran and Russia, Russia somehow and somebody else is just going to pounce on the United States. No, not militarily. Remember what Fox 519 has been talking about the last few weeks with this new revived push to end the petrodollar, to stop trading oil in U.S. dollars and shift to something else like the yuan or a basket of currencies that China and Russia are working on together. If they do this, the United States dollar is done. We will spiral so fast it will make your head spin. As far as, I mean, that would be like the James Rawlsian level economic collapse in just a week. It'll happen so fast. Federal Reserve will be, let's see, blah, 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 blah. I want you to read the article yourself. I'm not going to read it to you. But there are some things. Martial law may not even be officially declared, but the streets of America will feel like martial law nonetheless, talking about some of the controls that will be put on many of these things. And, of course, the empowerment that's going to go to Homeland Security. And he predicts that the whole apparatus of Homeland Security will be completely turned inward, focusing on domestic enemies. And he has a few more thoughts on that. So basically, what will happen if the U.S. strikes Syria and refuses to disengage? He says the previous things that he mentioned, the list of 20 items, will happen. So what can we do about it? Well, I want to go through those with you real quick. He mentions, given that this crisis is going to be riding a wave of extremely high energy prices, every single liberty movement activist, or every American for that matter, should be stockpiling energy reserves. That means oil, gas, with, don't forget your gas dryer, gas saver, diesel fuel, propane, anything like that should be at the top of your list right now. A generator should be next. Prices are only going to rise from here on out. So buy your reserves now. Everyone in the Liberty Movement should have at least minimal solar power capability. A couple of 100-watt panels, an inverter, charge controller, and 2 to 4 deep cycle batteries can be had for under $1,000, the whole package. You may not be able to run your house on it, but you can at least charge important electronics or run a well pump or run some lights, security system, etc. 3, the internet as we know it will no longer exist. Now, the internet's not necessarily going to go away, but what he goes on to explain is that it's not going to exist the way we know it, either through massive disruption or heavy control by the government. It won't be exactly the way it is now. So we need to have a backup plan to be able to communicate. I wish somebody would think of one. There's AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. Let me ask you something. If your internet went down, if the power grid went down, and you picked up your cell phone and it wasn't working for some reason, how would you get a hold of people? How would you hear news and updates and information from Radio Free Redoubt? Think about that. How would you get a hold of your brother, your father, your friends in your retreat group, little prepper group organization? How would you communicate with them? No internet. Okay, walk away from the computer. Pick up your phone. Okay, put your phone back down. Doesn't work. How are you going to get a hold of them? Something to think about. Learn a useful trade right now. James Rawls has been talking about that for years. Harden your home during the next few months. Spend some time doing that. Home invasions are going to be on the rise. They already are, just with the economy the way it is, but I think you see a spike in that. Learn a useful trade right now. Cache items before winter begins. Find two friends or more right now that are willing to coordinate with you in the event that the worst happens. This means mutual aid and defense. This means predetermined arrangements for supplies, communications, meeting spots, and security. Do it now. Do not wait until the situation worsens. Buy 6 months worth of food over the course of the next 2 months. Bulk food, freeze-dried, MREs, whatever. Just buy it. Have a lot of food. You really should. Of course, he gets into this in the next one. Seeds. Seeds are huge. Store what you normally eat because the stress, dietary considerations are directly tied to stress levels in disaster type situations. As much as you can create normalcy and maintain a normal diet as possible, that's one major factor taken out of the equation that can really disrupt you psychologically. And so store what your family already eats. And there's nothing wrong with having long-term freeze-dried, but don't run out and buy $5,000 worth of MREs and throw them in your garage and say, okay, I'm prepped. There's my food. That's wrong. Bad answer, okay, for all kinds of reasons, which we've talked about in the past. But anyway, your food storage is only there to sustain you until you can begin producing your own. That's a real important thing to consider. So he mentions number 9, cultivate nutrient-rich soil before winter begins. Buy planting soil, manure, start prepping that if you haven't already, and purchase extensive seed storage. And of course, books and materials on resources on growing your own food. Take a good situational awareness assessment of your neighborhood and assess, should you be planning on getting the heck out of your neighborhood? If you have a good neighborhood, can you start really cultivating those relationships where you might have to depend on one another in the future? Train for tactical movement. Learn how to move, shoot, and communicate, and learn your strengths and weaknesses. Prepare yourself mentally for conflict and self-defense. One thing I want to point out here, there is a book that is mandatory reading. It's called On Combat. It's written by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman to psychologically prepare you for pretty much any stressful situations, but he writes it really with combat in mind and combat tactical type of environments and situations and being able to function, prepare your mind for that and your body. And just an amazing book. That is a must read for all warriors. Anyway, there is there's a lot more to this article, but those things I think are just really great sound advice I wanted to pass on to you, because a lot of times you say, hey, you got to read this article, and people go, yeah, I'll have to. But if you don't get to do it, if you don't get around to it, at least you've heard kind of the main speaking points to that article. But he does go into really explaining how the, and this was a bummer because I really wanted to get him on the line on the phone and talk to him about this. It was just super short notice, so it didn't happen, but, something I'd like to do, here in the next week or so that we can get some of his thoughts, further thoughts, especially as this situation in Syria develops. So it definitely does directly impact us. It's really going to be the energy costs. Which is going to affect everything else, from food and everything else. We're going into winter. And so just do as much as you can to prepare and try to prepare yourself to be able to communicate with others and build community among those in your home Bible study, your church, like-minded friends, family, neighbors, and start kind of expediting things, because we're living in some really crazy times, all right? And you should be prepared anyway. But with this stuff going on, it just increases the probability that things could come sooner rather than later. And we can almost feel it in the air. You can feel it, can't you? Something's going down. Something's happening. And I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to get all freaked out, okay? I want you to have confidence in the Lord. I want you to understand that we're living in these very exciting times that we're living in, and approach them prayerfully. And this is real important. I'm talking to myself here, and be in the Word, and really be prepared to take care of your family and minister to other people. This is going to be an opportunity where people are going to be looking for answers. So this is a good ministering opportunity too, because there's a message of hope there. And all this stuff here is temporary. But we're to be good stewards, and we're to take certain actions while we are here, but here won't last forever. Okay, so anyway, I just wanted to leave you with that. Okay, I'm going to be lining up speakers, like I already mentioned, that will be able to come on and talk about various different aspects of preparedness, since September is Preparedness Month. And we've got a lot more to cover, a lot more to come as far as that goes. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap everything up here so we can try to stay within that hour. That's my target. I'm trying to restructure and reconfigure so that I'll be able to do that. Trying to get the last stuff finished up on the house and everything. And I know a lot of you guys, I got carried away actually today. I got doing a whole bunch of stuff around on my property. And so I got started on the show late. So it was a scramble time. But it was hard not to take advantage of this beautiful weather, knowing that fall's coming, winter's coming, and well, there's just some things that had to be taken care of. So, but it was good. But so, thank you all for taking the time out, sitting down, and tuning into Radio Free Readout. We've got a lot more stuff we're going to be covering, so keep checking back on the website. And until we meet again next Sunday, I just want to say God bless all of you. Please prayerfully consider your move to the American Redoubt. And just pray over the American Redoubt right now and the leadership, especially the leadership within the American Redoubt, so that we can prepare a place and a safe haven and a refuge to plan for not just the event, but afterward, the rebuilding. And so we can preserve Americanism where we are. There's some things worth fighting for, right? Okay, you all have a great week. Keep the letters of encouragement coming. And don't forget to join us this week. It happens to be the first Wednesday and the first Thursday of the month. You can click on the tab that says Amron Nets. Join us. Tune in on HF Digital. Tune in on HF Voice, that's shortwave radio, if you have single sideband. And then your local nets on 2-meter VHF, UHF, or CB nets, wherever they are. Start a net in your area if you don't have one already, and email us so we can put it on the directory so other like-minded patriots can tune in and join you. You guys can start communicating with one another. We're going to start placing a lot more emphasis on the communications portion here. Coming up, I'm going to be having a couple segments where we're going to go into that in a little more detail and give you some resources to help some of you that are new kind of get back up to speed as quickly as possible. Right after the show tonight, we are going to re-air the Partisan Diaries. Part one, The Women of World War II. This is going to be segment two, and it is, what's the title of it? Let me pull it up. Hold on a second. It is Corey. This is a World War II. Matter of fact, all of these are World War II partisans. They are done by a code name Chloe inside the American Redoubt. This is an exclusive to Radio Free Redoubt. And Chloe has put together a series of diaries. They're written in the form of first person, almost all of them, talking about the exploits and some of the sacrifices and the fights and the experiences of many of the partisans, people who fought tyranny so that the rest of us could be free. The first part, part one, has six segments to it, and all of these deal with the women of World War II. The second one is really exciting, part two, which is being recorded. Some are recorded, some are edited, and there's final research being put together. She got a little bit behind on the schedule that she put on herself, the deadlines that she put on herself. And so she's scrambling to get those done, but not without compromising quality. And we were talking a little bit about that, and it was just, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing those come. Okay, I'm going to let you go now for reals. Keep emailing johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com with ideas, suggestions, and encouragement. God bless you and yours, and we will talk to you next week. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.